to Cool Games Inc., a game design podcast for Polygon.com. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson, I think we gotta cancel the podcast.
Uh-oh, why's that?
I have a few feelings about why we should cancel the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the first one is that we haven't made a good game in half the podcast. Like, for half the time the podcast has been going.
All right.
We haven't made a good one.
Right.
And especially the last few have been really lacking. And I really felt so bad about our last one, which was basically just us saying Al Borland from Home Improvement's name over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, there weren't so much mechanics there as much as it was we were just sort of proving how much we knew the name of the character from Home Improvement, Al Borland.
Which, in fairness to us, I think we proved that out, that we do know his name very well. And if you think about it, Pokemon Go has made $12 million in
the
past week.
So that's the other reason that I want to make sure that we just go ahead and put
get out of the industry.
Put this little shit to bed.
Yeah.
And that is, one, I've never been so wrong on anything, I guess.
You weren't wrong, Griffin. Everything you said was true. Every criticism you levied against that iPhone computer game was fair and balanced. But
which was that
like
it was like it was like diarrhea, but completely weightless and effervescent. It was
sort of a space diarrhea situation.
Sort of a like cotton candy situation. The game is not great. I played it a lot though, and. Mm-hmm. I got angry when the server shut down yesterday because I couldn't play more of this diarrhea game.
Did they actually shut down, or did it just tell you that the servers
were
down?
They were just like, hey, if you're like, if you use this one particular login because you switched over because you didn't want us to have complete unrestricted control of your email address.
Your whole life.
Your whole shit. And so you switch to this other thing, you can't play today. Is that cool? No? We're just kind of making it up as we go along. The game's not very good. It's made $1 trillion, and you love it, Griffin. So I guess you're, like, wrong on every conceivable level.
Hmm.
So, like, with that being said, I'm pleased to announce I'll be never do a video games thing again.
Well, don't let it get you down.
Well, that and the fact that our last few games have been very bad.
Not so
and
good.
I think this is probably the most high-stakes episode of Cool Games Inc. yet.
Because oh, it's kind of a make-or-break sitch for us, I feel
yeah,
like.
If we can't turn it around, I'll shut this shit down around both our ears.
Oh, boy. Well, today, I don't know. I don't know that I want to put all my eggs in this particular episode.
That's too bad. I
basket.
Came and I grabbed your eggs, and I put them in this basket together.
Because, like, 3 minutes before we went to record, I had a little bit of a headache, so that's already not great. And then I went to grab the ibuprofen, and I dropped it, and it landed in a glue trap for a mouse. And then I pulled it out, and then it got all sticky, and then I kind of got... I got sticky, and my fingers are still a little bit... I basically kind of just... Kevin McAllistered myself and trapped myself to being stuck to my own medicine bottle.
Well, you more Nathan Lane'd yourself in Mouse Hunt, along with the other gentleman in Mouse Hunt.
Oh, because they... Yeah, that is a much cleaner metaphor. They were in pursuit of a mouse.
I'm imagining you right now, and you're just covered in glue traps. You've got one of those slap traps on your nose. Mm-hmm. You ate some of the poison from one of the bad boxes, the boo-boo
that
box.
That doesn't happen in the movie, does it? They don't eat poison.
Nathan Lane... does the thing. They put all the traps out. The mouse avoids them while also somehow deploying them on the men's bodies.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, well, at least I can eat this soup. And he turns his back on the soup for
no,
a second. And the mouse dumps a bunch of the
poison.
Mouse poison into it. And,
that's no
and,
good.
Yeah, they both gentlemen in the movie pass away, unfortunately.
They die at the end?
Unfortunately.
It's been a long time. I remember they said the S word in that movie, and I was very shocked.
They said, shit, I'm dying, bro.
Yeah, that was the exact line.
Looks like the mouse hunted us.
Yeah.
No, that movie ends with them, like, blowing up the entire fucking house. And then they finally, like, see the mouse, and it's been horribly injured. And they get, like, a pipe to, like, kill it. But they can't do it because it's so adorable. And so them and the mouse open up a cheese factory. And I watch that, and I go, boy, Hollywood's really let its standards go, huh?
Do you think that, like... maybe in the original, like the first revision of that film, they just fucking murdered the mouse, roll credits, and then that didn't test super well.
It would test well with me because you can't spend 2 hours getting me fucking rock hard about killing this mouse.
Right.
And then when you have the primo opportunity to really screw shit.
It's almost like, in terms of being disappointing, it's almost like the ending of another mouse themed title, Rat Race, where by the end of that movie, it's kind of gone off the rails, and they've all many of the characters have abandoned the rat
they've
race.
They've abandoned the rat race entirely, and then just Smash Mouth is there.
in the mall.
And then Nathan Lane comes in, and he beats everybody in the movie, in the band Smash Mouth, to death.
With the pipe.
with a pipe. And then them and Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, open up a cheese factory. And it's like, what the fuck? How are these in the same universe?
Right. Well, it's, I guess it makes sense. It's one of those things where, in hindsight, it's like a Cloverfield, well, it's like a Cloverfield Lane situation, I guess, where it's like, oh, I guess they were, they kind of find a way to kind of smush them together at the end there.
10 Cloverfield Nathan Lane.
Nice. Do you want to do a podcast with me now?
Yeah.
All right.
Close Twitter, though. We'll need that. We'll need that little resource.
Mm-hmm, that could help.
This one was sent in by Tim Romero. Thank you, Tim. It's Fort99 on Twitter. Says, a game that generates all its dialogue from Word documents on your computer.
Ooh. Okay.
Let me pop in my docs. Let me see what I got.
Yeah, let me just type in .doc into Spotlight here.
So, just like, I'm going to go down the list of what clicking on the documents folder on my Mac opens up. Uh-huh. First up, fucking Pusher Love Girl. The MP3 of Pusher Love Girl from JT, the 2020 experience, Justin Timberlake's album. Then right after that is Vanessa Williams' Save the Best for Last MP3. Now, those are first up because they have 01 denoting the track.
Oh, that'll do it. So I do love the idea of, like, it opens like a traditional JRPG. Then you're sort of, your housekeeper walks into your bedroom, kind of shakes you awake, and then her opens her mouth, and then she says, this font does not come with a license. As far as we know, this font is freeware.
Yeah. And then, like, you go talk to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper's like, Pachy torso, Paris skull, Spino tail, Dimetrodon torso, Dimetrodon skull. Because that's actually a wish list of dinosaur bones that I needed in Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Oh. Stored that in a dock.
Yeah, just stored that one in a doc. I also have a spreadsheet of all of the furniture that I need to complete the sets anyway. I think this would be fun. Mine would be mostly review drafts. Mm-hmm. So, like, somebody would pop up and then they would read off my review for the video game Antechamber.
That could be fun for you, I think, to kind of...
It could be like a dating sim, only one of the characters is incapable of saying anything except my friend's resume that I helped him write. Which could be...
You get a very personalized experience. I think the one tricky thing with that was that so much of indie games right now is banking on capitalizing on the streaming community. And people might not want to stream if any single one of their personal... Well, then again, everyone gave Pokemon Go access to their whole lives, so maybe that's not true. Maybe nobody gives a shit, but it could be scary. You never know what you're going to find in my Google Docs.
Lord, bro, I'm going through, and I'm looking at all the review drafts in here, and I'm remembering games that I reviewed that I don't even remember playing. And I must have, because I'm not that unethical, but right. Like Diabolical Pitch... Diabolical Pitch?
Oh, hell yeah. That was that Kinect game by Suda51 where you're throwing baseballs, right?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I think that would be fun, but let's move on.
Let's move on. Drew Davenport suggests, you were just trying to get home from work, but these fucking Overwatch matches keep opening up around you. And then this suggestion is actually augmented by Hunter Ellenboss, big old freak on Twitter, who says, related, your Overwatch's transport maintenance crew replacing the shot up fire extinguishers, O2 tanks, and wall panels.
Let's make this a bit broader than Overwatch, right? Because I don't want to get into an IP situation, but maybe you are just like a cleanup crew, and then after like a first-person shooter match happens, you have to go like scrape all the tags off the wall, and you have to pick up all of fucking Reaper's shotguns that he just keeps throwing all over the dang place.
That's one guy's whole job, I'm pretty sure. You just got like a trash can taped to his back.
Because Reaper apparently can carry infinite shotguns with him at any point. A regular man or woman could really only carry maybe, what, 9 of those before it gets like too cumbersome for them to hold anymore?
Right. They've also got I guess there's someone whose job it is to refill the confetti chambers on the basketball hoop.
Oh, yeah. I've never been able to do that yet. Yeah, that could be fun. So it takes place in the universe of Overwatch. Maybe that's what's inside of all those fucking convoys. It's just like a guy like trying to get home. He's like, can you come help me do my thing?
Well, you know, I mean, on the Hollywood map, you kind of, if you're standing near the point, you hear the guy in the limo. He's like some sort of celebrity man talking about how he's got to get to the set to do a movie or something.
Is that real?
Yeah, I've heard there's dialogue for the guy in the limo who's my makeup art. Anyways, they could do a situation where, I don't know, I think something that's going to be very hot over the next 18 months is VR interpretations of existing game franchises where you're sitting perfectly still not doing anything.
Interesting.
Kind of like that Batman thing that they had at E3 was one of those where you're just kind of, it is this very lightly interactive thing where they took a lot of art assets they already had and reappropriated them. And I don't see why there shouldn't be an Overwatch one where you're sitting in the back of your stretch limousine and you can kind of look out the window and watch a real video game happen.
And the conversation would be you talking about how the fact that Overwatch has all of this lore that they have laid out in these like Pixar quality short films, mm-hmm. Talking about like these forces of good and evil, and about, you know, extra outside of the government black ops force that fought for good and the evil, but then in the game it's just like there's 9 Reapers and they're all shooting each other for some reason, or there's right. like 6 of the gorilla. Why that? So you're just on the phone looking out the window like, what the fuck, there's 6 of the gorilla guy.
Yeah,
what the fuck's going on? There's 6 of the gorilla. Why are there 6 of them? And why are they fighting each other?
It'd be like watching a Superman movie where all of a sudden there's 9 Supermen and they're all punching each other out of nowhere.
It's bonkers. They don't talk about that.
It
Nobody's
holds up
talking
to like zero,
about that.
Zero scrutiny. It's almost like Overwatch was its own thing at some point. Maybe it was an MMORPG or something, and they kind of had to retrofit a bunch of this stuff that they liked into some sort of new
maybe
game.
That's kind of what happened. Because I definitely watched the Genji Hanzo short, and it was just like brothers, and one of them like killed the other one, and so that one became part robot, and so they have kind of a like strained relationship. Only in the fiction of the game, there's 3 of the Hanzos, and they're on the same team as the Genji, and they're fighting 6 of the gorilla guy. Why? Why is that? Why?
I guess I prefer it to the alternative, which is trying to make any of that shit make sense. Like, I would hate it if the next Overwatch short was just a Reaper factory where there are 8 different Reapers and one of them has a mariachi hat. Just kidding. I like this idea so much.
Just kidding. This is so much better. The next animated short is just 6 of the gorillas being like, all right, so we've got to go help a truck move. What? We got to go help a truck move, and we're going to fight 3 tracers while we... Why are there 6 of us? Why are there 3 tracers? Why are we helping a truck move?
One of the gorillas is like, what if we all turned into May at the same time? That would be silly, wouldn't it? Let's do that. And he's turning into May over and over.
Here's a fun true story. I bought PlayStation 4 Overwatch. I've been playing on PC this whole time. But my brothers were like, come play with us on PS4. And so I said, okay. And so I bought it, got the download going, and I finally downloaded it after like 8 fucking hours, and I turned the game on, and I was like, let's just hop in and see what's up, and I choose May, and then I realize everybody's going to choose May, and then they freeze me into the spawn room, and I can't get out of the spawn room, and we lose the game, and then the servers crash, and I have not touched the shit since.
Jeez, I think that's an unusual experience. Not that the console players would do something dumb and goofy, but that the servers would go down. Like, my experience playing, I don't know, my experience playing the console, because I did the same thing, I bought the PS4 version to play with my girlfriend, and I don't know a non-mean way to say it, but console Overwatch players are more
scrubs.
They're more fun to play against than PC players.
Yeah, I think that's
how I'll put it.
Can I read this suggestion?
Yeah, what do you got?
Sent in by Mr. Chainsaw, Pete X Nasty on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, augmented reality Go starring whatever the fuck, just get on this money train quick. And
we then really
here's
gotta.
Here's a picture of the poster for the movie Money Train, starring Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
I don't think they're recommending that we do an augmented reality version of Money Train, but I kind of disagree
that
with
was
the
just,
whole...
That was an engagement play, I think. They know we respond well to images.
Yeah, absolutely. We got these dumb caveman brains. I disagree with the assertion of the tweet, and I certainly disagree with the 500,000 hot takes. And let's call it, these takes were not especially hot. They were hot in that they just came out the oven.
They were technically hot, but that was because they were microwaved.
They were microwaved.
Warmed over takes.
But they were like a hot pocket that somebody put in the microwave for like 7 minutes, which isn't a long time for food to be traditionally cooked, but way too much time for a hot pocket. Because I can't tell you how many number of articles I've seen, like, augmented reality's fucking here. Everybody, get on it. Make an augmented reality game. And I'm like, hey, dogs, you understand that's not why anybody gives a fuck about PlayStation or Pokemon Go, right? Like, you know, I'm not like standing in the Lowe's parking lot throwing a ball at a Nidoran that's floating 3 feet off the ground thinking like, I'm transported. I've been transported to Kanto.
It is pretty funny to look at the game Pokemon Go and just scratch your chin like, what's making this pop? It must be the word go. It's got to be the go half of it. That's the part of this equation. But on the other hand, though, I'm not super mad at that this misguided attempt at making AR a thing, because I've played a couple AR games on iOS that are fucking awesome, and
yeah.
I would love for that to be a thing, even if they're all going after it for the wrong reason.
And the cool shit about Pokemon Go is the location-based stuff. That's not necessarily part and parcel attached to the augmented reality stuff.
You're right.
The augmented reality stuff is fucking stupid. It's like
kind of shitty. It's
like I'm on the toilet and a Pidgey flies into the room, and then I augmented reality catch this Pidgey as it's just floating in space in front of the door to the bathroom. And it's not like just like the Pidgey does. No. That's not how it works. And in fact, if I'm, you know, in the passenger seat of a car and I'm trying to catch a Pokemon and my friend turns left and it's like, well, I gotta keep turning and catch that's fucking annoying. Nobody likes that.
The AR stuff is actually kind of the shittiest part. I guess that's an important distinction. I've played really great location-based iOS games and I want to see more of those. Well, I want to supplement this suggestion with one from Kornhime, who says, augmented reality game where you generate collectible monsters from dogs you see on the street.
So it's just like you see a dog in the street and you just like snap a pic of them and then you just have them?
I guess you do.
Still not augmented reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we make it augmented? Because I'm thinking we got to find a way to algorithmically sort of monster rancher them into your phone with like a QR. But instead of a QR code, maybe
you're going to need some sort of gun that digitizes the dogs.
What if you were to, and hear me out, we need some sort of like snowflake aspect of the dog that is unified but randomized on every dog. Could we have a QR code scanning thing where we use the, and this is going to sound gross at first, but the dog's butthole to kind of generate algorithmically like a fractal.
Yeah.
And then that you can import the dog in that way.
Is this an attachment for my phone or can it be a gun?
It can be a gun. I think it should be like a Pokemon Go Plus situation where if you want to take this shit serious, you do have a special.
I would definitely, if the alternative was that I had to like walk up to your dog and then like hold my phone, which I put on my face almost exclusively, and then like hold that over the dog's butt for like 20 seconds maybe.
It's a long scan. Real deep. It's doing like a high long exposure.
Or I get
5,000 megapixels
that I can just no scope your dog's gooch from like 30 feet away.
Saying.
Just like
so. Boom. It's got like it's got an actual fucking telephoto lens on it. So you're like in the park, just like aiming down sights.
It can't have a very long lens on it. No, it can't have a very long lens on it. I'll draw the line there. At the park with a long lens, cop knocks on the door of your car. What the fuck are you? No, it's cool. Just getting some dog gooch.
You know,
for my game to capture a Monster Rancher. You remember Monster Rancher, don't you?
Well, the thing, a week ago, that excuse might not have worked, but in this post-Pokemon Go world thing, they'll just be like, I'm just glad you're not fucking throwing Pokeballs at Zubats while driving your car through this park looking at your phone.
Okay,
like,
so I got a hot tip on, I have a neighborhood Facebook group. Mm-hmm. That's mostly just like used for people like gunshots, and it's like, no, it was just like somebody popped a bubble wrap in their home.
Right.
Somebody just opened up a can of soup and it made a weird noise, but it has spiraled into basically all Pokemon Go all the time, people talking about like, hey, I'm gonna drop a lure at these two spots that are right next to each other from 12 to 1, come get it,
come through. Yeah.
Which is really cool, really amazing. But there's a park near my house that is just Charmander City.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and so I may have popped off an incense and driven around it for a bit, parking every time that I executed this catch maneuver, because I'm not an idiot. And then I noticed there were three other cars doing the exact same thing, circling this park and parking every 20 seconds.
Oh, because you were trying to catch multiple Charmanders to grind out your Charmander's candies to get
Charmeleon or even a Charizard. Candies to get a Charmeleon or Charizard, you fucking dumb game. There's so many things that are so good that would be better if they had any kind of like game design logic behind them at all.
Right.
I did my first gym fight the other day, and I was like, welp. Never want to do that again.
It's so fucking bad. I want to believe that, like, okay, Niantic Labs here in San Francisco, right up the street, I've been to their offices. That office is $17 million richer now than it was 7 days ago. So, like, maybe they can hire a guy who makes the game fun. Like, hire a game developer to make the battle
system
not
I've never seen anything quite
toilet.
Like it, where it's like, even if you know what you're doing, it's unintuitive. You just tap and tap and tap and tap and tap and tap and tap, and then you hold it in when the meter's full, but swipe left or right. If you want to kind of avoid the dodge, you got to dodge the attacks, kind of, but it's hard to tell when the animations are coming, and some of them aren't dodgeable. And by the way, we're not going to tell you fucking any of this.
Right. We're also not going to tell you that if you hold down the touchscreen, you can do a special attack. Like, less than half of the people I know who are playing Pokemon Go had any idea that the special attacks are in the game. That, like, burn meter. Just no explanation. None.
It's fucking miserable. It's insane. This is the most popular game that's ever been made. And so much of it is so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Anyway, how about a new one?
Sure. Here is one from Kinder Murder on Twitter, who says, minigames where you have to maintain eye contact in awkward situations, for example, putting change in your pocket after buying coffee. And what appealed about this idea to me is I've been playing a little bit of Just Cause 3 lately, which, by the way, I feel like I was led to believe that that game isn't good. That game's fucking really, 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 really good.
I thought we talked about how you didn't think it was good.
No, I'm playing it for the first time now. It's fucking, it's very good. I enjoy it a lot. But one of the things that game does is, like, every single thing you do is quantified and measured and plopped on a leaderboard. So, like, when you first boot it up, it's like, hey, like, 8 of your friends just passed your maximum glide time of 23 seconds, or, like, maximum shoot dudes combo of, like, 10 dudes without taking a 5-second break. And I love the idea of an iOS-enabled application that applies stuff like that to real life, like micro-challenges like locking eye contact with strangers in a business transaction, stuff like that. And there are two ways to take it. We could take it in kind of a, like, gamifying life, make your life better, like, oh, now I'm way better at eye contact thing. Or we could just make it a full-on cringe endurance test nightmare to just really see how much you can stomach.
This sounds like that fucking Emma Roberts, Dave Franco movie again. That fucking Truth or Dare on your phone, and you do it, and people are watching you, and they place bets, and you have to do it. And they're watching you, and you have to do it, and you have to fall in love with Dave Franco and kiss him, and maybe kill him? It's called Nerve, the movie Nerve.
The movie Nerve, and...
I'm just saying that's what this idea is.
I guess. I wanted that's a fictional thing. I want to make this real, and I want it to be the game for sort of the everyman who wants to just have a very upsetting interaction with a stranger in a public place.
Okay, I already don't want to play Pokemon Go, and all that has me do is walk around. I almost certainly will not play a game where I have to walk around and then go into a coffee shop and try to have eye contact with people.
The part that's confusing for me, Griffin, is that you're saying this game sounds like suffering and you won't do it, but that's what you said about Pokemon Go 7 fucking days ago, and look who's still playing Pokemon Go. So
I guess I'm looking for a new game to just have an antagonistic relationship
with. Right, if you want a new game to hate.
Yeah. How about this one? And it's from Zachary Guthrie, Snark Harder on Twitter, who just says, another Gex, please?
Okay, it's kind of an open book.
I'm going to close this book. Fuck this book.
All right, shut that book right away.
Trevor Hayworth sent this one in, Tinkleheimer 1. A Benjamin Button RPG, which that's good enough.
Okay, so you start at level 99.
Where you start at level 99 and
wait,
level
really?
Backwards.
Wait, really? Did they say that for real?
Yeah, you start at 99 and you level up backwards.
That's good.
Maybe this is just...
What's the matter?
Maybe I'm thinking about how fascinating this would be if this was actually just one character in another game.
Oh,
so like
okay.
You start out and it's like you're a weak guy, but you got Benjamin Button on your team, and they like kick ass for you. And then halfway through the campaign, you're like equals, right? And maybe you fall in love and you do it and you have a kid. And I haven't seen Benjamin Button, but does he have a kid? And then that kid levels up, like not levels up, gets older, like.
Don't call it leveling
sideways
up.
Or something. I don't know. But then at the end of the game, you gotta just protect them.
Yeah, I guess nobody's...
They're a baby.
No one's real. I guess like Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening was one of those characters who's like super strong at first and then just sucks. Every time he levels, he gains like a point thing. But I love the idea of just inverting it, just having a character who, by the start of the game, completely breaks the balance of it, and by the end of it is just a small, wrinkly old baby man who you still have to bring in a battle with you and actually put a lot of your resources towards protecting. And maybe there's a narrative component to that. Like you can tell them to leave your party, but that's the bad ending. The good ending involves escorting this shitty character.
Falling in love with them. Doing them. getting a baby out of the situation.
Now, I haven't seen the film, but nobody fucks Benjamin Button, right?
Yeah, he turns into Brad Pitt and nobody fucks him. What's the deal? You're turning into a baby super slowly? You're still Brad Pitt. I think I want this.
Yeah. So they do, huh? They get him.
Better yet, like, oh God, you're like 81 years old. I don't know. But you say you're going to turn into Brad Pitt, huh? All right. I guess I want this. Let's have at it, Benjamin Button. Take that button off of your pants, Benjamin.
Do you think there was one older fella who saw that film and was like, wait a minute.
Wait a second. This is going to be great.
This is going to be great for me.
I'm turning into Brad Pitt.
Very slowly. Roll the dice. You don't
real
know.
Real slow.
Weirder things have happened.
Maybe it's more of a Dark Souls game, but with like a backwards power curve. Because you watch these like dudes run, and they like do these like soul level one no hit runs. Right. What if you like had to do that by the end of the game?
It's always been a little weird to me that like so many games have a progression where like you get better and more powerful as they go on, while also getting just naturally better at the game. That's never totally made sense to me. Like Doom 2016 is an awesome game, but by the end of it, you're so powerful. And the game kind of scales appropriately. But like I've been playing that game from the beginning. Since I got this new sweet gaming rig, and it's pretty like not being able to double jump, like all the weapons you don't have, all the perks and runes and stuff. It starts hard and gets easier in some ways. And I love the idea of a game like sort of a Dark Souls situation where you start super, super, super powerful, and by the end of it, you just have one shitty sword.
What if we have a game where all of the progression arcs are based on, the classes have these different progression arcs, and they're all based on movies where people age weird.
Okay.
So there's Benjamin Button that is a class that would probably be hugely unpopular, right? Because you're the strongest at the easiest part of the game and the weakest at the hardest part of the game. I wouldn't want to play that. That would be a challenging way to play it.
Well, who would you like to be then?
Well, Jack, right? That's basically power leveling.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you just immediately jump to...
Well, not immediately. It takes you a while, but for every level up, you get like 8 levels up. That's crazy. That's so much. But then maybe you do big, and you just like the first 7 levels are really slow, and then like you're level 31. What? Fuck?
All of a sudden,
yes,
you're playing
awesome.
Piano in some woman's apartment.
Maybe you time traveler's wife it, and you just hop around different like levels, and you don't know what your next level is going to be when you level up because you're time traveler's wifing it.
Is there a single movie like in this whole pantheon of like age play movies where some adult man is either turning into or not or becoming a man from a baby where they don't get fucked? Like, is it
oh big
that
is
hard?
I mean big is the like the piece de resistance in that sense, like started the whole age play movement
for sure.
I'm adult man Tom Hanks, but let's just for fun let's pretend that I'm a baby.
Which one of the Weinstein brothers is like, okay, the script is pretty good, but why doesn't anyone ever fuck the baby man? Like, why is that a note
why
that keeps
that
coming
happen?
Back
Peter Pan, you level up to level 7 or level 10 and then
you
stop leveling
there?
Up
that's pretty good.
Portrait of Dorian Gray, I think. I haven't read it.
Isn't that like does a bunch of sins and a painting gets old, but he stays
something
the same age?
Something like that, yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Any other movies with fun? Oh, 13 going on 30.
That's good.
Level 13 to level 30.
Is that, which is the one where I think this might be 13 going on 30, they swap bodies
Freaky
with the mom.
Freaky Friday, you and at level 10 and me at level 50, we just switch fucking levels.
Okay, so you level naturally to 13 or whatever, and then let's say you level to 15, then all of a sudden you get swapped bodies, locations, all of it with a player who's like level 41, and then the player who just got swapped back to 15, when they hit 41, do they get swapped back again? Is it an infinite recursive
loop? That is not
how
the movie Freaky Friday worked. Even a little bit did it not work like that.
Didn't they? She swaps bodies with her moms, and then
but
mom...
She doesn't wait like 26 years to do so.
I guess what I'm saying though is like once
Freaky
you've swapped
Friday,
it once,
Freaky Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and just like a bunch of days equaling 26 years.
I guess what I'm saying though is like when you're converting that into a game mechanic, does the swap only happen once? Because at the end of Freaky Friday, do they end up switching back? I'm trying to remember. I know the mom like is like.
I mean, you're describing Freaky Quantum Leap at this point. which would also be another dope-ass leveling thing.
It would. I kind of love this idea a little
bit. Yeah, I'm kind of very much into it. I think we need to, like, get some of the IP away from it, but we know. But right. Just like a game, I imagine like a single player, really hardcore action RPG experience where you're just like farming and grinding, trying to get those levels up, working on a very specific build, and then just like there's a special demon in the game that if he touches you, you switch with another player. Everything, your fucking save file goes up into the internet and disappears, and then you get another one that comes back down. And maybe that one's at like the final boss, which you know is full of those bad demons. Or maybe they just started it out and they didn't dodge the demon in the tutorial. And you're like, fuck. And you're getting so much better at the game, but you never know where those skills are going to be needed.
Mm-hmm. That is fascinating. And I think, I mean, do you still picture this, though, being a situation where at the outset you pick a class? Because I think there's some fun potential of, like, we can all, like, you know that it's based off Freaky Friday, and I know that it's based off Freaky Friday, but we could just call it, like, Spooky Sunday or something.
Sunday is an incredibly good name for a video game franchise.
Yeah.
Spooky Sunday 6. And then we could have like a weird gothic Victorian version of it called like Spookier Sunday.
That's a good name too.
And that would be the best one of the whole bunch. There's so many different possibilities, right? Like I think your character, you're specializing in the whole way, and so when you hop into another character that's been completely specialized, do you play as that character's build, or do you like make them less effective by like taking them down a different tree and wasting some time and levels and stuff like that pursuing the old build that you really liked? Or do you just embrace the change and like go with it?
There's a lot. So man, I'm almost tempted to just put a pin in this one and come back to it, but yeah.
And maybe there's like a Dishonored dark side light side mechanic to it where like the world changes based on how you play. And so maybe you've been playing like really pacifistic and like been getting through with it. Like maybe there's like huge dialogue trees and you can like convince people to like get out of your way instead of having to murder all of them, and it makes the world a little bit better. But then the world you hop into is like full chaos and you have to try and make it right again. Or you hop into a world that's like fully nice and you just like have this big nasty playground.
Okay, so we're getting isn't an action RPG anymore, though, is it?
No, it is. Yes, definitely. Sure. An action RPG with conversation trees. Anyway, yes, pin in this one. Let's do a speed round, but this is the one that we've got to do, right? Unless the speed round is, like, so juicy.
Unless something,
juicy.
Like, just gets us out of nowhere. Here's an absolute banger that is being submitted by someone other than the person who wrote it. This is a tweet that someone else is submitting on the behalf of this person, but the original tweet is by Z Darsky, who says, "I want a Spider-Man Go app where I have to get pictures of Spider-Man for a furious J. Jonah Jameson."
Is that Chip Zdarsky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a big comic book dude. He did Sex Criminals. He's amazing.
That's why he's thinking about Spider-Man, because he loves the cartoon books.
That would be very good. Would it be played by Superbuff J.K. Simmons? J.K. Rowling? Superbuff J.K. Rowling?
I think J.K. Simmons would be willing to lend his vocal talents to it, because one, I in my mind, he is inseparable from J. Jonah Jameson, just permanently. That is the best casting in all of the history of Hollywood. He's so fucking perfect as J. Jonah Jameson. But if his voice isn't... I mean, like, in the early days of location-based games in this pre-Pokemon Go world, a lot of them did situations where you pop the phone in your pocket and it's just audio. So, like, there's a game... It was like a running app where you're running from, like, a swarm of zombies. And it's you gotta run over to this building. Or, like, there's a one about being a spy that I super love called Code Runner. I'm thinking this is a game in those veins, but you have J. Jonah Jameson just barking, I guess, one of three lines at you the entire time.
That would be fun. And then that would also qualify as a new Gex game.
How is J. Jonah Jameson involved in Gex?
No, just Gex only ever had three lines of dialogue that he would just barf at you over and over and over again while you try to like, jump and collect rings or whatever.
We can sell a Gex skin for it. Do you have any ideas?
Oh, I got a lot. Joshy Boy, who apologized this week for his suggestion last week about Adrian Brody sucking his farts, which I thought was really big of him. He did include Mr. Brody's Twitter tag again, which, you just don't need to do that.
He did it again this time?
Yeah, but anyway, in this one, though, it's Dog the Bounty Hunter's pre-bedtime ritual.
That's pretty good. Now, before we get too deep into this, because I want to know whether or not Dog is listening, did he tag Dog in this tweet?
He didn't, no, which is good.
All right, so
I don't want to get bountied over here.
You don't want to get on that dude's wrong side.
I don't
want to
get that plastic zip tie cuff around me. Well, what's he do?
Before bed?
He rubs off the bounty grease.
Okay.
that he applies.
Does he... I'm imagining he has maybe like a large checklist by his bed of open bounties.
Oh, yeah. And he just like... It's like mercenaries. Just like he checks one off and he's like, yeah, mm-hmm. 20 dog points.
It's like he's got the deck of 52, but it's all people who are like...
They're late. They're late on their truck payments. Yeah,
right.
They own an alligator they're not supposed to have.
Right.
Dog's gonna come a kicking.
Undefined underscore taken on Twitter says Mario is missing. No.
I see what you did there. You did a little portmanteau.
They did, and I think
two video game characters.
They did, but it's sometimes you got to give them the benefit of the doubt and really explore it. Like, for example, what if Mario was a fucked up rectangle, who was only. I guess what I like the idea of is a missing no level error in an existing Mario game. So let's say Mario Galaxy 3 comes out, you go over to the beach planet and you walk up and down the shore 58 times in a row. Who shows up?
A glitched out Mario Man.
Well, an inside out Mario.
Oh, God. I'm going to actually take this opportunity to sort of thank Nintendo for their restraint. And that, like, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this new Monster Hunter game. I just reviewed it, Monster Hunter Generations. It's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it has costumes for your pet cat. And it's like Link and Strider, like Toon Link, like all these different characters. And that's like been a thing that they've been doing forever. And just like, I appreciate this has never showed up in Pokemon where it's just like you can catch Mario. Because like the cognitive dissonance there would be like in like the craziest.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've been dancing around that with Mr. Mime for at least 15, 20 years now. We've all been acting like that's not just catching a human.
But if you're just like, yeah. I mean, that's already like a suspension of disbelief thing. But if I like did it and it was like a wild Reggie Fils-Aimé attacks, I'd be like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons not to do that beyond just breaking the canon of Pokemon.
How about this one, though?
Mm-hmm.
Evan Roy McDonald said, Thanksgiving with Brett. Mm-hmm. How about this one, though, from Chris Berg, Chris Berg 25, who says, Rock Band go, carry a plastic guitar into the street and hunt for sweet riffs.
All right, so let's really build this out. In Pokemon Go, the main AR functionality is looking around the environment for creatures. In this, would you be kind of constantly surveying? I'm guessing you put on like a Google Cardboard over your face and you look around for notes that could be coming at you from any direction. And you kind of catch them.
And you catch them, but you are playing them on a plastic guitar. So if you're like on the bus or in the lowest parking lot, you're just like fucking maybe you have headphones plugged in. So like the actual music's coming through your phone, but you are jamming out to like Jessica by the Allman Brothers.
God, what a good look that is. Just a dude sitting in the back left corner of the city bus with sunglasses on and a huge plastic guitar taking up the seat to the left and to the right of him. Just kind
with, of, I guess, some sort of rig that is attaching the phone to their chest, mm-hmm. right? Because you need both hands to really shred Jessica.
Here's one from Andrew T. Owens who says, a game where if you get into a car accident, you have to exchange your darkest secrets instead of insurance info.
I don't know how that would be helpful for this situation, and I don't really have any dark secrets, Nick.
Okay. You say that now, but when you're looking down the barrel of a loaded 12-hour ban from the new version of The Crew, where everyone gets into fender benders and then pulls over, and it's like, hey...
This situation exists in some sort of fucking fantasy universe where I would ever play The Crew again.
Right. Well, this is what it takes to get people back in. They're doing The Crew Stage 2.
The Crew Stage 2 : Post Secret.
Yeah. Stage 2 Post Secret Edition, where you pull over and you let a stranger know, and it's all mic supported, mic required, mic enabled. You lean over and like, hey, when I was 12, I traded my cat for a GameCube game. And I told my mom I didn't know where it went.
That's not a bad trade, though. It depends on the GameCube game.
Right. If
it was Animal Crossing, it would be like, that's good. There's
I basically traded my cat for 30 cats, right?
Yeah, sure.
And also, like, Nintendo games, just they never go down in price. You know what I mean? Whereas cats, that market can fluctuate. So
I bought Eternal Darkness on GameCube like 2 years ago, and I found out at a GameStop, and it was like $45.
Jeez.
It's like, this disc is the size of a bagel bite. Fuck off.
Right. The dollar to disc square inches ratio is a little off there.
we are going to Freaky Friday jump back to Spooky Sunday, because that's got to be the shit. And we got 20 minutes now. And this is potentially the last, now 19 minutes of Cool Games Inc. If we cannot think of a way to turn this into a complete banger,
then the podcast is over.
The podcast is over. We can't keep putting out shit. We can't keep making shit. And after this one, Nick, we're going to have to go on like a 3-game good streak.
Right. We got
to get like our good graces back. Right now, we're like EA circa 2010 or whatever, or Activision circa. But we're like THQ, but we could go the THQ route, the darkest timeline.
Okay. I guess I'm trying to rack my brain for like.
Because our last few games have been like SpongeBob, 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 you draw, SpongeBob, you draw. And it's like, no, guys, you can't do a game company like that.
Well, they're starting to turn it around, so maybe we can too. What's that movie where that person goes over to that old guy's house and hangs out with him all the time until he dies?
Dennis the Menace?
No. Well, sort of. No, there's the one, it's based on a book, and she goes over to the old guy's house and every weekend and hangs out with him until he finally just...
I think it's called Spooky Sundays with Jeff.
Right. Well, I guess at the end of the day, the name doesn't matter because we can't use the name.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Tuesdays with Maury, thank you. Because I think that could be a fun one where you're just a healthy level 20 player who's got to kind of supervise and learn life lessons from this person who's been playing the game for 90 levels.
If you were to play this game offline, I think it would be a very straightforward Dark Souls-like experience, right? But that's not the jam. The jam is as soon as you plug it in online, you have no idea what your next power up is going to lead you to.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea.
Dark Soul kind of, I think, in a lot of ways blazed a trail, not just for this type of action RPG, but for a game where something can happen because you're connecting to the internet that just fucks you over for no reason and everyone's cool with it now because of that. I'm sorry, I'm still reeling from the fact that I googled movie about hanging out with an old guy and the first result was the Wikipedia article for Big. Like, that's not what that movie is.
No,
at
I mean,
all.
I mean, big adult Tom Hanks does hang out with the boys still some.
I guess he does, but he's according to this snippet of the article I'm seeing on Google, Josh gets transformed into a 30-year-old man, which isn't even really an old guy. So it's weird that they knew that we were in the ballpark of kind of age play film, but they totally did not hand us the correct one.
Can you imagine how different that movie would have been if when he woke up as adult Tom Hanks? If instead of waking up like that, like his mom had walked in and just seen adult Tom Hanks lying in her son's bed, her son nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And then in the rest of that movie, he would be in the prison.
Yep.
Playing piano in the prison. And the guy's like, what did you do with him? Tell me. Where'd you bury him? Bim, 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 I'm in jail.
Doing some fun chopsticks.
I need you to bring me this fortune teller machine in here. Why? Don't worry about it.
It'll fix everything.
I think if you're streaming this game, how can that functionality completely just fuck your shit up?
Let's see here. Like, you're talking about some level of interactivity with your viewers?
Yeah.
There could be a fun mechanic where... I think one thing that games have not done yet... Like, we're in a really good era for mods in games. Mods have never been easier to install. They're coming to consoles now. But what we haven't really broached is mods that get installed without your express consent. Like, I want a Twitch chat to be able to add new movies, new configurations, new level, age, play scenarios without my knowledge. And then they just kind of happen to me.
I don't know what else there is to include in Spooky Sunday and Age Play Adventure. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we've really tapped the well, unless there's some really obvious one about people aging weird.
Oh, shit, dude. What's that fucking movie where everyone has, like, a meter on their hand and they, like, live forever?
Oh, Logan's Run, yeah. That could be, like, a whole server where once you turn level 25, your character's deleted.
That could be good. I'm also, there's a fucking modern one that I think has Justin Timberlake in it.
Justin Timberlake in Just in Time, I think, is what it was called, because it's fucking the worst. And in Just in Time, they have a little meter on their wrist and they have to pay to stay alive.
It was called In Time, but
I think it was called Just in Time.
It really wasn't, but I'm wondering if that was a discussion.
Just in Time, the Justin Timberlake
time.
Have a good Just in Time with Justin Time. A Justin Timberlake. A Justin Timberlake movie. How about a more... where you're two very high-level people, two co- it's a co-op experience with two high-level players, and then one of them's just gone. This is not good to joke about, or is it good radio? No, it's not.
So it's two level 99 players just kind of chilling in a house together.
No, I think they can still go on adventures and stuff. But then one of them runs into a bottomless pit.
Right. One of them sees a sign that says, like, treasure down below and jumps off. And then they got a deal. It's like when you get separated from another player in Journey, but, like, on a much, much grander scale. That kind of makes you question the nature of mortality in relationships.
Ooh, that was a bad one. That was a bad one to say and think about. Movies about aging backwards. I mean, what is the game going to be like? Like, what is this game going to be like about, oh, the Age of Adeline? Nobody saw that shit, but I think that one's about aging backwards. Or Blake Summers never gets old. She just stays that way forever.
Hmm.
It's another one.
There could be a fun sort of Gran Torino one where you've been playing this game for a really long time and you're just kind of sitting there next to the high-level boss yelling at all the new level 24 players going by, like, back in my day,
yeah,
we had to grind out for this game. And also there's, like, he's making up new, like, racial slurs to use against these other players, like in Gran Torino.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird class, but yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see. I mean, if we have to include it, like, we legally have to include it.
Just because, like, I was playing on the Overwatch test servers yesterday to check out the new character, and this was like 2 hours after her existence got announced. Nobody knew even formally that she was coming, and all of a sudden she's playable on a test server. So I wait in a queue of 6,000 people to get onto the server, and then I'm playing, and some fucking guy in the chat on this test server says, guys, two Annas is too much. We need a tank. And everyone else in the chat is like, dude.
Shut the fuck up.
What the fuck are you talking about? We're in the test server. This character just came out minutes ago. Like, fuck all the way off.
Amazing. That's the most video games.
Right.
We could do, you're a level, like, 30 character, but you show up as a level, like, 81 character to everybody else. Like Bad Grandpa with Johnny Knoxville in it. But then there's a class where you just are a level 81 character, and that one can be Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro, who is that age.
So two grandpa options.
We keep talking about being high level as being an old person.
Right.
And I don't typically think of them as being the most vital, strong. Although I watched Ninja Warrior, an American Ninja Warrior, with like a 70-year-old dude, and he could get it.
Hmm.
I mean,
sorry,
he
watched American Ninja Warrior with a 70-year-old dude, and he can get it.
He was in the show. I didn't watch it. I wasn't having my own Tuesdays with Maury. Mm-hmm. Although my neighbor's very old, and he smokes big fat cigars constantly, and I do want to know more about him. So maybe I'll go over there and watch some American Ninja Warrior with him. Anyway, this old man did okay. He did beef it on, like, the second challenge, but he's, like, an old man, so what do you want?
Fucking old, so of course he did.
But what's the game like?
It's Dark Souls. It's a shitty fucking Dark Souls.
I could do a shitty... I could probably put a shitty Dark Souls together in Unity.
Yeah, you could just throw that together. Just take the slider for sword animation and bring it all the way up to high, and then it takes a long time.
And a long, long, long time. And we take the dodge animation, we're going to turn that all the way completely down. And all the dialogue is going to be generated from Word documents for my computer. And it's going to be like, striped modern sofa, striped modern chair, striped modern floor.
It's like a poetry book. Are we limiting ourselves to only movies about age?
I think we should, unless you have a way to tie it in.
I've just been thinking a lot lately about the movie where Jim Carrey's God... You know, the one where he's God.
Yeah, sure. And then the next movie where Steve Carell is God.
Morgan Freeman is God, and then he slips on the roof in a Santa outfit and falls off and dies.
That's not how that happened.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Santa Jim Carrey.
The Santa God.
The Santa God.
So how would this be in the game, Nick?
Well,
you've just sort of been thinking about it, haven't you?
I've been thinking about the movie a lot, and I just need to talk about it with someone. But also, I want to talk about the sequel where it's Steve Carell instead, and he makes
up art. Noah, yeah.
He's Noah's... What the hell were those movies called?
Bruce Almighty and
then
Steve Almighty?
Steve Carell Almighty. Just really... Well, okay, so that could be a situation where because I think all these things are in play at once. All these characters are interacting with each other with all these different rule sets. So maybe only one character gets to be Bruce Almighty'd into just a full-on, like, I'm thinking a literal god mode for a low-level player who kind of has below average, like, stats. Their death, they die more than average. They're just a dumb sort of bad player who all of a sudden has infinite power. Mm. And all the other players have to contend with that. There's a fun social dynamic to that. He can, like, grab the moon and make it really big to impress a lady.
I think you're losing the plot a little.
I'm still thinking mostly about the movie.
Yeah. How about this? There's a boss fight halfway through the game, and it's just like the Mirror Knight from, I think, Dark Souls 2, where, like, real-life players come out of the mirror and you have to fight them, except it's just a big arena, and once there's, like, 10 players in the arena, the fight begins, and that boss fight is just you against the other 9 players. And then if you win, you get to move forward in the game. And if you lose, you get to, like, switch those 9 players around however you want.
If you lose against the other 9, you get to do what?
You are fucked. And you get, basically, you're probably going to get sent backward in the game.
Okay, because are you swapping randomly with whatever their quirk is? Is that how it's working?
Yeah.
What's that, that cartoon that we both watched about, the boy who goes back in time to try to prevent a murder?
Erased.
Is there some sort of situation where, like, something horrible happens to a childhood friend of yours, and something horrible happens to your mom, and then you got to go back in time?
Fuck,
and
that's good. So, like, a level, like, the first boss, like, you kill him, and then you feel, like, really guilty about it the whole time, and mm-hmm. then maybe the next time around, you let them kill you.
Right.
Is there permadeath in this game?
Oh, man. Each of these decisions are going to really affect the whole situation.
I don't see why not. I mean, there's permadeath in the movie Freaky Friday.
I guess by default, every one of these movies
If Jamie Lee Curtis died in Freaky Friday, I think she would just stay dead.
Also, but then Tuesdays with Maury without permadeath would be a much less impactful film.
Yeah, if, like, Maury kicked it and after the big football game or whatever the fuck happens in that movie. But then, like, he just, like, pops up at the hospital, but he's, like, 20, and he's like, all good, minute. All good.
The big football. What do you think happens in that? So the person who's spending their Tuesdays with Maury is helping him get excited old guy football game.
Let's call them Nick. No, the old guy's, like, getting Nick excited for the football game. And he's like, you gotta play. Nick's like, I don't want to play. I want to work on my poetry. And he's like, no, that's some shit. That's shit in your shit. It's like, wow, Maury, I don't know why I keep coming over here on a weekly basis.
That's a way more realistic movie about spending time with an old person.
Yeah.
It's just a real shit bag.
You're a piece of shit. Get out there, catch that pigskin, or else I'll never let you come over here on Tuesdays anymore.
Oh, you mean I don't get to come to this fucking terrible smelling house where, like, the only food is just jelly and butter.
You don't
butter.
Know anything about jelly or butter. When I was fighting in the big war, I would have killed for jelly and butter, and you know what? I did. So, why don't you get out there, Tan Hut, catch that football for Dad.
I'm just having sorry, Maury. I know that this was part of my community service, and I should just probably buy
my part of my community service. Part of my community service too. I burned down a jelly store.
You're saying when you were at war, or just this was a thing you did that you're telling me.
Doing community service for war crimes. Yes, for the big one, the big great one that I fought in for your freedom. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. You did defend my right to come into your house.
You
and tell you that its house smells so bad. Why? What is it? Why is it so stinky in the
I
house?
I just made some kale chips.
There's no way that you made kale chips. You don't know what kale is. You're 900 years old.
You need to respect me. Eat these kale chips.
Okay. These are just regular potato chips.
I know. But they're named kale.
Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
I think you were watching the news and you saw a report on kale chips.
I did watch it.
And you thought that I think I know what happened. I think you thought that that was what the kids are calling all chips now. And really, it's a different type of chip. Actually, it's very little in common with a potato chip in terms of the flavor.
There's two types of chips in the world, and there's kale chips and Ruffles.
And you can tell the difference because one of them has riches. And if you try to tell me about Pringles, I will slap you across the mouth and face because those are not, those are technically crisps.
Mm-hmm. They actually warned me about that before I came over here. It's like, do not mention, am I allowed to say it?
You want to try? You want to see? We want to find out? You little shit. You're going to be late for your gosh darn game. You got to get out there and tape up your cuffs.
Okay. They warned me up front not to mention Pringles, so I guess I'll make sure that I'm... Oh, ow. Actually, I'm being polite. That did not feel like anything. One of your fingers turned into dust and is now missing.
Yeah, it's because I'm the Mummy Returns, the second one.
Now, can we put the Mummy Returns in our game, Griffin?
What are you talking about? It's just me now. Griffin's gone.
Well, Griffin is your
he's me your... tomorrow. We're time travelers wifing each other.
The time traveler's wife will also be good.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
It is a good movie. You want to watch a movie with me?
Yeah, which one? I want to watch one that Bryan Singer did.
You're a fan of his work, huh?
I
that's
like
surprising
what
he to
does
me.
Out there. We should do a movie about the Great War starring me, Maury, the Tuesday Man.
Okay, Maury. You're too old for that to act.
Don't call me Maury. Call me Tuesday Man.
Well, I think people would
every
like,
other day of the week I'm a ghost.
That's I mean, on your current trajectory, I think you are on average. I've seen how late you sleep in. You were probably spending roughly one out of every 7 days conscious if you put all the numbers together.
That's right. And I spend that day conscious with you, my best friend and son, Nick. Tomorrow I'll be younger than you though.
Why is that?
Time traveler's wife. Thank you all for listening to Cool Games Inc. It's a game design podcast for the video game website Polygon.com, part of the Vox Network.
Which itself is, I think, has seen a sizable investment from is it NBC?
NBC Universal. We're an NBC product.
This
Fuck.
Podcast is a product of the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you. Thank you to Friends, our predecessor.
Really paved the way.
Thank you to Friends and Frasier.
Comedically.
Thanks for sending in your suggestions. Holy shit. I'm sweating from keeping that character going.
I'm really
for so
sweaty
long.
Too. And I don't know why. I think I started to get pangs of what actually happens to me when I'm around an old man, which is just the deepest, most existential discomfort that a human being can experience.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Spooky Sunday and Age Play Experience was good enough for us to keep the podcast going at least 1 week, but we are going to be living hand to mouth for a while.
Okay.
We're going to lose. It's going to be tight living for a bit.
You're saying we got to be batting 1,000 for quarter three of fiscal year 2016.
Absolutely. That's what I'm
keep
saying.
Rolling.
Thank you all for listening. Thanks for your suggestions. Thanks for the reviews on iTunes. Thanks for everything. Anything else?
Absolutely not.
Radical. Till next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
I almost said the tagline from the Bachelor recap show I do, which is not this
one. Do it. That could be a fun crossover.
Yeah, all right. When you're ready. No problem. Fine.